This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Dr. Wendy Christian, she's a health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Wendy. What a pleasure. Trust you well.
Good morning, Brad. Yes, I am. Thank you. I hope you are too.
Yes, I am. And being able to speak around sleep again, I think is so cool. Last week we connected and we spoke about the healthy benefits of sleep from physical health perspective, for restoration and repair, healthy immune function, weight management, cardiovascular health, hormone regulation, and more. Because neglecting our sleep has long-term consequences. I think we need to keep this in mind, right, Wendy? It's more than just waking up and not being cranky.
Yes, exactly. And also you can't make up for a lot of bad habits with one good night's sleep.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a while if you haven't been sleeping well and if you haven't been in the routine to get to a point but where you can start feeling better. But yes, you're right. It has lots of influences on all of our systems in our body.
I think if I've learned anything from this conversation is that I need to take sleep seriously. As we continue this morning for part two, it can also have an influence on our emotional and social interactions.
Yes. So because sleep helps to enhance our ability to interact positively with others, it also helps us to understand people's emotions better, so we can read emotions better, and it helps us to respond with empathy. It also helps to reduce irritability, and it helps us in our communication, in our relationships.
Can we handle life better? I know this feels like a really weird way to ask it. Can we handle life better, stress better, the stuff that comes at us better if we sleep better?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we've been able to rest, we've been able to regenerate, we've been able to sort of switch off that fight or flight part of our nervous system. And then that already sets you up for being able to handle stress and complex situations a lot more easily.
If we sleep better and we get good sleep habits, can we technically live longer if we sleep better?
Yes, we can. So there have been studies that have showed that longevity is increased when we have good quality sleep.
Yeah, and I think it's regular good quality sleep, because I think we have one or two really good nights and then that makes us feel fantastic, and then we don't always focus on getting good sleep on other days. Sometimes I think the weekend can potentially ruin things for us, where we want to stay up later and watch things or whatever. And what you're saying here is I'm getting this needs to be consistent and we need to be disciplined.
Yes, we do need to be consistent and disciplined. And ideally, we want to stick to the same sort of bedtimes and waking up times, regardless of whether it's weekend or not. That is the best type of, that's the consistent sleep that's best for us. If we're going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning one day and sleeping until 8, and then the next night we're going to bed at, say, 9 o'clock and sleeping till 6. It's very confusing for the body and the body systems, our natural body clock. So, we could live in a perpetuating state of jet lag if we're doing that kind of thing. So it is very, very important for us to have that regular and consistent sleep schedule.
I know that there's more to it than just sleeping, but can we improve our chances of avoiding certain chronic conditions by having good sleep?
Yes, because the body is able to restore at nighttime. And I think we have spoken about this before, that if we are not having good sleep at night, our blood sugar balance can be disrupted, our cardiovascular system can be affected, our brain function can be affected. So there's so many things, if we're not getting enough sleep, that can contribute to the impact of chronic disease and sort of increase our risk for chronic disease.
I think it just feels to me, this comes down to we need to plan this. And this is not just going to happen by chance. We actually need to plan this, almost like we have to diarize it so that we force ourselves to say enough of all of what the other distractions are. This is bedtime, like it or not, for us and for the family.
Yes, exactly. It's like children. We have to train ourselves to we have to train our children to go to bed at a certain time because it's good for them. We do that for them because we know that it's healthy and we know that they need their sleep, but we're not always as disciplined with ourselves and we don't always train ourselves well. So I think it is important to get into those, you know, we have to do whatever it takes to be able to switch that television off or stop scrolling or stop doing what it is that's keeping us from sleep.
Do we need to build routines and things that we do that lead to sleep, that can help us to sleep better? Is there a kind of a routine that we could consider?
Yes, absolutely. I think routines work very well for us because our systems function sort of like on a 24-hour clock. And our bodies that make associations with those routines. So if we start a winding down routine an hour before bedtime, your body knows, okay, it's time for bedtime. I need to start preparing. I need to start sort of shutting down. I need to start doing the things that I need to do so that I can fall asleep. And it's the same with any of the routines that we need to put into our day. If we don't have that, we have less of an association with bedtime and it makes it more difficult to go to sleep.
Does it need to be dark? I've wondered about this. Does it need the room that you sleep in, does it need to be dark? Does that have an actual effect on how well you sleep?
It does. If we don't have a dark room, the pineal gland gets confused because it constantly thinks it's morning. And so you can have a disrupted sleep and it can affect your sleep-wake cycle. So we need to have for melatonin production and for good quality sleep so that we're not disrupting that pineal gland, a very dark bedroom. There shouldn't be any light coming in. If you've got a red light on your alarm, you know, put a little sticker or something over it, because even that little bit of light can mimic sunrise and can affect your sleep quality.
Well, this is important. And us watching TV until we start to feel sleepy, then going and collapsing into bed. Although we're tired and are sleeping, I'm guessing having that blue light until that point that we feel really sleepy is might we might be sleepy enough to fall asleep, but it could have an effect into the night. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. It also affects your melatonin production. In fact, the more blue light you're exposed to in the later part of the day, the less melatonin your body is able to produce, because we only should be exposed to blue light around about the middle of the day, which is when you need to be the most alert. And so if we're constantly doing that, our brains don't have the right message. And so that melatonin production is much, you know, it's limited. And that will affect our sleep quality. So you could find yourself waking or being restless or, you know, just not being able to get into that deep sleep that you need to be able to get into.
At what point do we need some kind of help? Like you mentioned melatonin, whether you need to take something or supplement for better sleep. At what point do we need an intervention to ensure better sleep?
Well, I think it depends on the individual because different sleep interventions work differently for everybody. So some people don't do well on melatonin at all, but they'll do better on another sleep formula. So I think it's assessing where you are. Are you able to fall asleep easily? Do you stay asleep throughout the night? Do you wake up feeling refreshed? If you're ticking yes to all of those answers, you don't need anything to help with your sleep. But if you're struggling in any of those areas, then you need to maybe think, okay, I need to get some help apart from putting into because the discipline around schedule and things like that is one of the most important things. But then you might need some assistance. So you might need some valerian or you might need some passion flower. There's chamomile. There's a few different things that you can be using to go to sleep. If you don't, you know, if melatonin doesn't agree with you, or if you can't get melatonin,
Yeah, and
or
sometimes
you might not be able to, sorry to interrupt, you might not be able to use melatonin because you're on other medication that it
True.
interacts with. So you've also got to be careful of interactions with other medication before you go out and buy sleep supplements.
Yeah, and I think if we minimize, you know, if you're working and it's stressful and you feel anxious and, you know, shut the laptop and then lie down and try and fall asleep, it just feels like, how's that ever going to happen? So we need to build into that routine to minimize the anxiety or the stress or build something prayer time or whatever in there before we go to bed to enable us to actually sleep. So I'm feeling now routine is key here.
Yeah, routine is definitely key. And a lot of the people that I see, it's not necessarily a deficiency of melatonin that's causing their sleep issue. It is that overstimulation on the nervous system. So it is all around the lifestyle. It is, running too fast, doing too many things, working until bedtime, and not being able to switch off because your body is still stuck in that fight or flight response.
Yeah, that's the voice of Dr. Wendy Christian. Thank you, Wendy, so much for this. Make sure to listen to this podcast again. Team it up with part one from last week. And let's those great routines in. Let's learn from Dr. Wendy here and let's go and have ourselves really great sleep. Wendy, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for your time this morning. Have yourself a really great Thursday.
Pleasure, Brad. Have a great Thursday too.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.